The eighth parak discusses the flour, oil, and wine that were used with the Korban Mincha. Mishnah Aleph, and thereafterward Mishnah Beis, discuss specifically the flour that was used for the Korban Mincha. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Kol Korbanas HaTzibur V'yachid. When it came to all Korbanas, it's talking about the Korban Mincha, all types of Korban Minchas, whether the Mincha is being brought on behalf of the Tzibur, the Klal Yisrael, or the Yachid, or an individual is bringing a Korban Mincha, either way, Bayim Min Haaretz U'michutz Haaretz, it can come either from the land of Israel or outside the land of Israel, Min HaChadash U'min HaYashan, it can come from the new crop, this year's crop of grain, or Yashan is last year's crop of grain. Either way works. If it's coming from the Chadash, as we'll see in the 10th parak, it has to be brought only after the Korban Shtei Alechem is brought on Shavuos. That's the only time we're allowed to start bringing from the new crop of grain. However, there are two exceptions to this. Chutz min ha-Omer, the Korban ha-Omer, is brought on Pesach, the second day of Pesach, and also the Shtei HaLechem, which was brought on Shavuos, She'enan bayim ela min ha-Chadash. They can only come from the new grain, u'min ha-Aretz, and also from the land of Israel, they cannot come from Chutz la-Aretz. Then the Mishnah continues, V'chulam einam bayim ela min ha-Mufchar, all of the minchas, all of the flour that comes from the Korban Minchas, and in fact, all the ingredients that we'll talk about, they have to be the best type. You can't buy the cheap stuff, the low-quality stuff, as we will explain, the Ezu Mufchar, and what is the ideal place from which to bring the flour. So where does the grain grow best? So there are two places, Michmas, Umezonicha. So those were the ideal places. They were the alpha lasolas. Those were the ideal, the tops. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Think alpha, beta, or A, aleph. They're the top quality for the solas, for the flour of the Korban Mincha Shnielem. And after that, also very good quality, but not as good as those places. Chafarayim Bikba, this is a place that was located in the Bikva. The Bartanura explains that there were actually two places called Chafarayim. One was up on a hill and one was down in a valley. And it's telling us that the second best place to get the flour after the Michmas and Mizonicha was the Chafarayim, that place, but the one that was located in the valley. Then continuing, Kol Ha'aratzos HaYukshiris, truth be told, you could get the Korban Mincha flour. You can get the flour from any place, any location, any city. Everything was kosher. Elamikan hayumivin, but truth be told, because these were the ideal places that we listed already, these were the ideal, so people would practically bring it from here because those places wanted to do the Korban Mincha in the ideal way. Mishnah Beis continues discussing the ideal flour that will be used for the menachos. Ein mivin, lo mibeis hazvalim. We do not bring the flour that has grown from wheat, that is from a field that requires fertilizer. If it requires fertilizer, the field may not have been fertilized well, so you're going to get a poor quality yield of wheat, and accordingly, the flour that comes from it is not going to be the best quality. So use a field that does not require fertilizer, so it's going to be higher quality. Similarly, bring wheat or bring the flour from the wheat from a field that does not require irrigation, because if it's a field that requires irrigation, it may not be irrigated well, and the quality of the wheat will suffer. And similarly, velomi beis ha'ilan, don't buy grain from a field that has plants, that has trees growing in it, because the trees are going to weaken the quality of the soil. That's going to take away nutrients that would otherwise have been used to grow the grains, the wheat, and accordingly, we want to use a field that doesn't have any ilanot, any trees growing in it. Bimhevi, however, if the Korban Mincha was brought from flour that grew in any of these fields, it's still going to be kosher, it's still going to be acceptable. Ketzad huoseh, so what's the ideal way to grow in the fields in order to get the best quality wheat yield? So the Mishnah tells us, narashan arishana, which you should do is you should plow your entire field the first year, but only plant half of it. So plant half of it, plow the whole thing, but plant half of it, ubashniya, and the second year again, plow the whole thing, and v'shnia zora kodin lepesach shivim yom, the second year you're going to plant the second half of it that was not used, and be sure to plant at least 70 days before Pesach, so the wheat has time to grow in time. V'hi osa solas meruba, in that second year, from when you plant the second half of that field that wasn't planted in the first year, that is going to be the ideal flower that is grown and to be used for the Korban Mincha. Ketzer u'bodek, so when it comes to the Korban Mincha, it was purchased by the treasurer in the Beis HaMikdash, and before he would say that I'm going to pay, this is acceptable wheat for the Beis HaMikdash, how would he check it to make sure that it fits the quality requirements? So it says as follows, Hagizba, the treasurer, machnises yadola socha, he would stick his finger into the flower that was grown and that somebody wants to sell to the Beis HaMikdash. And how would he test it? Ala ba avak, if he had avak, which is tiny particles of flour. So this is not good quality. It's too small. It includes flour that has tiny particles, so it's all mixed up together, and he can tell on his finger because it's not pure flour. It's got this stuff that is not ideal. It's too small. Psula, that is not kosher. Ad sheini fena, until you sift it, what you can do is use a sifter and sift out the particle dust of the flour and then get just the higher quality flour that you want, and then the gizbar would purchase it. Vim hislia psula, and if the flour had become wormy, that is going to be totally possible and valid. It's not only talking about the flour. If the grain as well became wormy, that would be a psul that would invalidate that flour or that grain to be used as part of the Korban Mincha. Mishnah Gimel and thereafter, Mishnayos Dalet and Hey talk about the oil that would be used together with the Korban Mincha. So Tekoa, Alfa LaShemen, Tekoa is the ideal place to source your shemen from for the Korban Mincha. Abba Shola Omer Shniela, second place, although not as good as the oil that was brought from the olive trees in Tekoa. Next best would be, according to Abba Shaul, Regev Be'evar HaYarden, a place called Regev on Transjordan. The Mishnah says, Kol Haratzos HaYukshayros Elamikana Yumivin, despite the fact that you could bring oil for the Korban Mincha from all places, but these were the ideal places, and that's where people used to bring from because they wanted to bring the Korban Mincha, including the oil component thereof, in the ideal way. Ein mevin lo mibeis hazvalim, just like we saw in the prior Mishnah, we don't bring the oil from olive trees that were grown in a field that requires fertilization, because if it wasn't fertilized well, the quality of the oil will suffer. V'lomi beis hashlachim, and also we don't bring oil from trees that grew in an irrigated field, a field that requires irrigation, because if it wasn't irrigated well, the quality of the olives and thereafter the quality of the oil will suffer. V'lomi mashe nizra beinayim, and also a field that had items planted between the olive trees. It could be additional olive trees, and we don't want to bring from those additional olive trees. The quality is going to be poor. Or if there was grain that was planted between olive trees, that is going to be also a negative impact on the olives from the olive trees, because there were other produce there in the field that was drying the nutrients. So we don't want to bring in any of those from any of those sources. Vimhevi. But however, if somebody did bring from any of those three, from the field that required fertilizer, from the field that requires irrigation, or that had olive trees that items were planted between them, it would still be kosher, kasher. Ein mavin an pikionon. We cannot bring the oil from oil that was from olives that were not ripe. So if the olives were not ripe, we don't want to bring the oil from that. Ve'im hevi pasul. And if so, if somebody did, that is going to be a psul. It's going to invalidate that oil from being brought in the Korban Mincha. Ein mavim lo min hagar gerin shenishu b'mayim. We cannot bring oil from olives that had soaked in water. Ve'lo min hakevushim. And also not from olives that had been pickled. Ve'lo min ashlukim. And also we cannot bring olive oil from olives that had been boiled, the heavy puzzle. And if somebody did, if the oil came from any of these sources, even bidyeved, even after the fact, it would be puzzle. It would not be a valid korban mincha because the oil was invalid. Mishnah Daled continues talking about the oil that was used in the Korban Mincha, and on a high level it's going to teach us that the olive trees are actually harvested at three different times because the olives become ripened at different times. And the Mishnah will teach us that at the top of the tree, where the sun shines the most, that will become ripe quickly at the beginning, and then thereafter, at the middle of the tree, that'll be the next harvesting. So we're going to see that we're going to harvest these olive trees three different times. There's going to be a harvest at the beginning, a harvest in the middle, and a harvest at the end of the season. So three different times that the olives will be collected. And in addition, we will see that for each of those, there are going to be three different qualities, three different grades of the oil that comes from those olives based on how quickly, how early in the process it is that the oil is removed from the olive. So the Mishnah says as follows, Shlosha Zeisim, there are three different times that the olive trees are harvested. So the three different yields, three harvests. And we're going to call those harvests 1, 2, and 3. Same olive trees, but they're being harvested at different times. So that's going to be harvest 1, harvest 2, and harvest 3. And also, ubahem shlosha shmanim. And each of those three harvests is going to have three different grades or qualities to the oil. And we're going to call those A, B, and C. Accordingly, harvest number one is going to have the grade or the quality A and B and C, and the same with harvest 2 and harvest 3. Each of the three harvests is going to have three different grades of oil. As follows, we're going to go through Hazayis Harishon was the first time that this tree was harvested. It's harvested as follows, Megargaro Berosh Hazayis, what do you would do because the olives at the top of the tree become ripe the quickest, so you're going to pick from the top of the tree, v'kotesh, and immediately you're going to pound the oil, the olives, v'nosin l'sochasal, and you're going to put them into the basket. Now, the way the basket worked is that there were cracks in the basket, and according to the Tana Kama, you would put the olives, after they were pounded, right into the basket, and the oil would drop down into a container underneath it. So that was going to be phase number one, as we see shortly. This is going to be grade A of our first harvest, according to the Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Svivos Hasal, instead of putting all the olives, once you've pounded them, straight into the basket, and they would go through the cracks in the basket beneath, what you want to do, Rabbi Yehuda says, is there's an improvement. You should put all of those pounded olives around the inside wall. So inside the basket, but around the walls, against the walls. And because of that, when the olives, the olive oil will drip to the kli, to the container underneath it, it's going to leave its sediment and other stuff that you don't want to fall into the oil. It's going to be attached to the wall. So he says the improvement is to put the olives around the walls, and that will yield you a purer oil when it falls into the container underneath. Ze Rishon. This is grade A of our first harvest. So that's going to be the best oil that will go under into the container beneath. And then afterward, we can still get a lot of oil out of these olives. And this is going to be our second grade. This is going to be B. This is going to be grade B, because what they're going to do is ta'an bekora. You're going to press those olives with a heavy beam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim, you don't want to use a heavy beam. Heavy beam is too heavy. You're going to get too much out of those olives. That's not going to be quality oil. So you want to use something lighter. So Rabbi Yehuda recommends using stones. It's not as heavy. And Zesheni, the oil that comes out after you press it, either with a heavy beam or with the stones, that's going to be grade B, quality B, from still our first harvest. And Chazar V'tachan V'tan, Zeshlishi, you would go and take another pass at it. This is the third pass in getting additional oil out. And it says you were tachan, as you would grind it. You'd have to soften them up even more to get more oil out. And then once you ground it up with a millstone, you would again put either the beam or the stone on top of it, and you'd get your third quality out, Zeshlishi. This is going to be the grade C oil that comes out of it. So we have just completed the process of getting the oil out of those out of the olives. And again, this is the first harvesting of the olives, and there were three passes at it, and there were accordingly three grades that came out, three qualities that came out of those olives, A, B, and C. Harishon the menorah, the grade A, the best of the oil is used for the menorah, to light the menorah in the base of Mikdash. V'hashar means grades B and C. Lamenachos were used for the oil in the Korban Mincha. Now we're going to go on to Hazayis Hasheni. Now we're going to take the second harvest. We've waited a little bit, and there are now more ripened olives on the trees. So we're going to make another pass. This is harvesting number two from the same olive trees. Hazayis Hasheni, it's going to sound almost identical with one difference. Megargaro Barosh Hagag. Instead of picking the olives from the top of the tree, now the middle of the tree is what has been ripened, because it's close to the sun, but not at the top. So that's why it says Megargaro Barosh Hagag. They would stand on the roofs, because the roofs were about the height of the middle of the tree, and they were picked from the tree at that point, at that level, the middle of the tree. V'kosesh v'nosin l'toch hasal. Now we're going to talk about the same exact steps as we talked about before, so we're going to go much quicker. What you do is you would pound it, and you would pound it and put it into the basket. That's the Tanakama. You put it all throughout the basket, and it would drip underneath to a container underneath. Reb Yehuda Omer Svivas Hasal. Reb Yehuda's other view, put it around the outsides of the, inside the sal, but around the walls of it, and it will drip, and it will be pure. Zerishon. This is grade A from our second harvest. Ta'an Bakora, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim, and then thereafterward, in order to get more oil out, this is going to be the same exact text as we saw before. You would press it with a heavy beam. Rabbi Yehuda says you should use stones. Zesheni, this is grade B. And now we're going to take a third pass at getting more oil out. Chazar v'tachan v'tan zeshlishi. Again, you would go grind your olives. You would put the beam back on again, and that would get more oil out. But this is grade C. It's not as good as B, or certainly not as A. And again, we're going to say the same exact statement. Now that we're doing our second harvesting of the olives, and we have three grades, grade A, B, and C of olive oil, harish and the menorah. Grade A is going to be used to light the menorah, v'ashra menachos, and the rest. That means B and C are going to be used for the oil in the korban mincha. And now, as we mentioned, the third harvesting, we wait a little bit of time, and there are more olives that have ripened on the trees, azayas ashlishi. This is going to be somewhat a different process, certainly in the first pass at it, because these are olive oil. These olives are not as high quality. They're tougher. It's harder to get oil out of them. Accordingly, otno besoch habayis ad shiyilke. What you have to do is you would pack it into vats. And it says literally in the house, but in a storage area. So you would pack it into vats until the outside literally gets spoiled, until the outside of the olives becomes much softer so that you're able to get the olive, the oil out of them. Umalehu umenagvo barash hagag. And what they would do is they would take it out and let it dry out on their roofs. What's going on here is that when it was sitting in these vats and spoiling, you have other liquid also that's secreted from the olives. And accordingly, you want to put it on your roof. It was very smelly, so you don't want to do it in your house. Take it up to your roof, let it dry out, so all that's left of the liquid is the oil. V'kotesh v'nosen l'toch hasal. And what you do is you would pound it, and then you would put it in. Now we're going back to the language we saw in the first harvesting and the second harvesting. You would pound it, you would put it into the basket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Svivasasal, you would put it around the outside of the basket. Zerishon, this is grade A of our third harvesting. And now it's going to be the same process. Ta'an Bakora, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ba'avanim, you would put a beam on it. Rabbi Yehuda says you put stones on it. Zesheni, this is grade B. Chazar v'tachan v'tan, Zeshlishi, same process that we saw before. And now that we have of the third harvesting, we have grades A, B, and C. Same uses as we've seen in the first harvesting and the second harvesting. Harish on the menorah, the first grade A, is going to be used to light the menorah. V'hashar l'menachos, and the balance, meaning B and C grades, are going to be used for the korban mincha. Mishnah Hay is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that for the menorah can only use olive oil that is grade A. It can be from either of the harvests, any of the harvests, harvest one, harvest two, harvest three. But for the menorah, it has to be the first oil that comes out that is grade A oil and not grade B and grade C oil. But when it comes to the korban mincha, you can use any of the grapes from any of the harvests. So effectively what we had was three harvests, and each of the harvests had three different grades of quality of oil. So we have nine different grades of oil, 3, 3, and 3, and any of them can be used for the Korban Mincha. What our Mishnah is going to tell us is what are the priorities, what is best when it comes to be used with the Korban Mincha. And what we're going to do is we're going to refer to the harvest, as we did in the prior Mishnah, the three different times that the olives are harvested is harvest 1, harvest 2, and harvest 3. And the grades, the qualities of the oil as it came out was quality A, B, and C. So it's going to be harvest 1, harvest 2, harvest 3. And each of those is going to have quality A, B, and C. So the Mishnah tells us as follows. Harishon should be Rishon. The first quality, that's quality A that came from the first harvest. So we'll call that 1A, harvest 1. And quality A, ein lamala mimenu. There's no better than 1A. That's the first harvest, the first oil that comes out, 1A. That's going to be the best when it comes to our choosing the oil for the Korban Mincha. Hasheni Shabirishon, that is the first harvest, but the second quality, that's 1B. Baharishon Shabisheni, that is from the second harvest, the first oil that comes out, that's 2A, Shavin, those are going to be equal. So we're saying now that 1B and 2A are going to be equal in quality when choosing them for the Korban Mincha. Hashlishi Shabirishon, the 1C quality, so from the first harvest, but the third oil that came out, so 1C, Bahasheni Shabisheni, and 2B, Baharishon Shabishlishi, and 3A, the first oil that comes out in the third harvesting, Shavin, all of those are going to be equal in quality when we're choosing the oil for the Korban Mincha. Hashlishi Shabisheni, that is 2C. Vahasheni Shabishlishi, that's 3B. Shavin, those are all going to be equal. Hashlishi Shabishlishi, this is from the third harvest, the third oil that comes out, so that's 3C. Ein lamata mimenu, there's nothing worse than that. In other words, that's going to be our last choice when it comes to choosing the oil for the Korban Mincha. That's going to be last. And now the Mishnah is going to address an interesting and important question. We've been talking about the menorah and the mincha, and there's obviously a very big difference between the two. The menorah requires grade A quality olive oil, not B or C, and the menachos were more flexible. You can use A, you can use B, you can use C. That all works for the Korban Mincha, so why are we stricter when it comes to the menorah, the oil for the menorah, relative to the oil for the Korban Mincha? So the Mishnah is going to tell us that we would have thought, indeed, that the mincha would require only grade A pure olive oil as well. So it says as follows, af ha-menachos hayu bedin. We would have thought that we have a kal vachomer, certainly that the oil for the menachos would require grade A, pure olive oil as well. And what's our kal vachomer to learn that? Ma'im ha-menorah she'ena la'achila, when it comes to the menorah, the oil for the menorah is not literally eaten, but it means that it is not put on the mizbeach. The mizbeach does not eat the olive oil. It's simply lit by itself, but not on the mizbeach. And nonetheless, tu'una shem and zaitzach, even though it's not going on the mizbeach, which is on a higher level, you would think, but still the menorah by itself does indeed, it absolutely requires pure olive oil, grade A. Ha-menachos shen la'achila, we would have thought kal v'chomer when it comes to the olive oil for the Korban Mincha that is burnt on the Mizbeach. La'achila is, it's achila sa'mizbeach, it's burnt on the Mizbeach. Ein odin, isn't it a kal v'chomer? She'itanu shem and zayisach. Wouldn't we say certainly that the Korban Mincha, it's burned on the Mizbeach, is going to also require grade A, pure olive oil, and not grades A and B? So why are we being stricter when it comes to the menorah relative to the menachos? So the Mishnah answers Talmud Lomar, when it comes to the menorah, the pasuk says explicitly, zach kasis lamaor, that the olive oil that is used has to be pure, it has to be pounded, lamaor is for illumination, for lighting on the menorah, so we have that higher standard that it has to be absolutely pure olive oil, velo zach kasis lamenachos, but when it comes to the menachos, we don't require that higher level of purity of the olive oil, because it doesn't say a pasuk requiring that for the Karban Mincha. So accordingly, bottom line is, when it comes to the olive oil of the menorah, we require grade A, and only grade A, pure olive oil. And when it comes to the Korban Mincha, because this pasuk doesn't require it, you can use A, B, or C from any of the three harvests. So you can use all nine gradations, although, as we've discussed in the Reish of the Mishnah, there are certainly priorities when it comes to uses of those nine different grades of oil. Mishnah Vav, we are now up to discussing where the wine should come through for the Korban Mincha. As we started out, we talked about where the flour should come from, and then the oil, and now we're up to the wine. Mishnah Vav says as follows, Minayin hayu mevin esayin, where did they used to bring the wine from? Talking about, in particular, where did the grapes grow so that they would make wine from those grapes? So the best place is Krusim, Batulim, those are two locations. Alfa Layayin, these would be the ideal places for bringing the wine because they had the best grapes. Shnia Lahem, second place. Beis Rima, we list three places. The first is Beis Rima. Ubeis Lavan Bahar, Beis Lavan located on the hill. Ukfar Signa Babika, and Kfar Signa that was located in the valley. Despite the fact that we said that those are the ideal locations, they are not the exclusive locations. Kol ha'aratzos hayuksheros, you could bring the grapes, the wine from all lands, everything would be kosher. Ela mikana yumevin, but practically speaking, these locations that we just listed were the ideal places because they had the best quality. Accordingly, the wine was brought from there. Ein mevin, however, there are limitations, places that we cannot bring from, and this is going to sound just like we had in Mishnah Beis, lo mi beis hazvalim, don't bring the wine from fields that were fertilized, concern being that if you had to fertilize the field, it wasn't intrinsically high quality, so it required fertilizer. It may not have been fertilized well, and you're not going to yield the best grapes, and hence the best wine. V'lo mibeis hashlachim, and also a field that requires irrigation. Don't bring from there, because maybe it wasn't irrigated so well, and you're not going to get the best quality. V'lo mimashen nizra b'neim, and also a field that had seeds planted between the vines. Those seeds growing there are going to take away from the quality of the grapes growing on the vines. And again, all three of these, our concern is we're not going to get the best quality grapes, and accordingly, we won't get the best quality wine, which is what we want for the mincha. V'im hevi, but if somebody brought from any of these that we just listed here, the beis hazvalim, the beis hashlachim, and if seeds are planted between the vines, still, b'dievet, it's going to be kosher. Ein mevin el yoston, also we do not bring the wine from grapes that were sweetened in the sun. So what they used to do is after the grapes were detached, after they were harvested, they would let them dry in the sun in order to sweeten them. Im hevi kasher, however, that is not going to be ma'akev. In other words, on a b'dievet basis, if you did use grapes that were sweetened in the sun, it would still be kosher for the Korban Mincha. Ein mevin yashan divrei Rebbe, you cannot use the grapes from last year, the wine from last year, it's not going to be as good quality. The color is not going to be as red. The chachamim machshir, the chachamim say not a problem at all. Ein mevin lo masok, you cannot bring grapes, wine that is sweet. This is talking about naturally sweetened. We're not talking now, as we saw before, about the grapes having been sweetened in the sun. And naturally, sweet grapes, we don't use that type of wine. V'lomavushan, if the grapes had been smoked, v'lomavushal, and also if the wine had been, or the grapes had been cooked, v'imhevi pasul, and for these, it's not going to be okay, b'dievet, it's going to be totally pasul. And even on a b'dievet basis, it can't be used whatsoever. Ein mevin min hadalias, we also do not bring the grapes that were grown on poles and beams. That'd be a trellis, so we cannot bring from that. This is a lechatchila. If you did b'dievet, it'd be okay. But the ideal is to bring elamin haroglios. That is, those are grapevines that grow along the ground. They are not elevated above the ground. Umina kramim ha'avudim. And also, the ideal would be to bring it from a kerem, a vine that is worked, that is tended to well. The Bar Tanura explains that they would work it and work on the irrigation systems two times a year. They would dig around the various vines and make sure the water is flowing in and out. And these are going to result with the highest quality grapes and the highest quality wine that we want for the Korban Mincha. Mishnah Zayin continues teaching us the halachas of the wine that was used for the Korban Mincha. lohayu konsin otso b'chatzavim gedolim, the wine that would be used, they do not store it in a large vat, but rather ela b'chavios ketanos, small barrels were used because this would preserve the taste better. Continuing, veinu memales achavios apiem, when you were filling up those small barrels, don't fill it all the way to the top. Why not? Kedeshiye recho nodef, in order to maintain having a strong aroma, which is a positive thing from the wine. So leave some space at the top of it before sealing it. So don't fill it fully with wine all the way to the top. Eino mevi, where do you take the wine from when you have this small barrel and you want to take the portion that you're going to use for the korba mincha? Eino mevi lo mipia, don't take it from the top, way top of the barrel, mipnei hakmachim, because wine, when it is stored, it has develops flour-like white particles on the surface of it. You don't want to take from that kemach. It's not literally flour, but it looks like flour. So you don't want to take from the way top. And also you don't want to take from the way bottom of the barrel. V'lomi shuleha, the bottom, ibn ashmarim, because of the sediment. So the top is out, the bottom is out. That means that leaves the middle. Elamevi mishlisha, you take from the middle third of the barrel. And in particular, even better, umi emtza, from the middle of the middle third of the barrel. So how do you check the gizbar? This is the treasurer who is in charge of buying the materials for the Beis HaMikdash. How does he check when they inserted a spigot into this barrel and it's having wine come out? How does he know when the poorer quality wine comes out that he doesn't want to use for the Korba Mincha? Ketzad hu bodek? How does he check when that wine is coming out of the spigot? HaGizbar Yoshev HaKaneh Biyado, that gizbar, that treasurer, sits there watching, and he's got his measuring stick in his hand. He's not using it for measuring right now, but he had a reed that he used to use for various transactions, and he would use that. And what they would do is they would insert the spigot into the middle of the barrel, open it up, wine would flow out, good quality. However, at the point that sediment or other things came out that he didn't want, like that kmachim, that white stuff came out, zara kesagid v'hikish bekaneh, what he would do when the wine, zara kesagid means when the sediment came out of the spigot, v'hikish bekaneh, that gizbar would hit with his measuring stick, with the reed, and what he would be doing is he would hit the spigot away so that the bad wine would not flow into the good wine that he was purchasing for the Korban Mincha. And now we're actually going to see a more machmir view. The Tanna Kamma said that when you have the a barrel with this flour-like material, the particles, or if you have some mold, and that would be similar to mold, according to the Tanna Kamma, you just have to avoid using that wine in particular, but it doesn't invalidate the entire barrel. However, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Yain, Sha'alo, B'Kmachim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he is more strict. He says any wine that has that kemach in it, that type of mold in it, the entire barrel is going to be pasul. Shinemar, as it says in the pasuk, and we're going to bring two different psukim. It's actually three different psukim, but it's combined within the Mishnah, so we'll read it as the Mishnah has it. Tamimim yulachem umincha, some that it has to be pure when you have a korban mincha. So that's learning when the korban mincha, it has to be have no blemishes, impurities. Tamimim yulachem, and he's came the second pasuk. His tamim is talking about the nesachim, which is including of the wine, and the wine has to be tamim. It can't have any blemishes. So the limud here is that just like an animal, if it has a mum, the entire animal is invalid. So too, when we have a barrel of wine, even if there is wine that is not blemished, but there is mold in that barrel, the entire barrel, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, will be invalidated.